Good morning, well sold. Good to be back here amongst you Monday morning. Anybody like a copy of God's Word today? It's offered to you freely without any cost or any obligation to you. The written Word of God, that is an extract from the Bible, John's Gospel. Offered to you quite freely, no cost or obligation to you. You'd like to have one, and do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hands. It is the Word of God, and of course the means by which God makes Himself known, has His name on it, you know, and revelation, you know, revealing of who God is, what He's like, you know, and what He requires of you, you know, of us all, in order, of course, ultimately, that we come to know His Son, Jesus, and that we come to be, you know, made new creatures, born again, you know, and faith, trusting, leaning upon Jesus for faith and salvation, forgiveness, you know, joy, hope and peace, all the blessings that come to us from God, from our Maker. It's all revealed, it's all made known to you in His Word, the Bible, what God gave us the Bible for. So if you'd like one, the whole Bible, New Testament, one of these Gospels, you know, it's offered freely to you. Come and ask us, and we gladly give you one. In order that you, in order like, you know, that you might be one with us, you know, that you might know the things that we know, we've come to know, not because of anything good in us, not because we were special in any way, you know, above anybody else, just simply that God, in His kindness, in His mercy and His goodness, revealed Himself to us. We were like all other men, sinners, you know. Not here, you know, with the attitude that, you know, we are holier than you. On the contrary, sinners less, just like all other men, conceived and born in sin, living in sin in this world, you know. And God came by His Son Jesus and laid hold upon us. Saved us, you know, washed us, made us clean in His sight, you know, forgave us all our sins and transgressions, and gave us this commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel that saved us.
That's right.
The gospel that saved me and my body, you know, that we found salvation, you know, and it's a message, I tell you, you know, fills a man with such joy, I tell you. You know, joy and peace and believing. And you just can't keep it to yourself, you know. You got to tell other people. Well, it would be selfish, wouldn't it, you know. If you found treasure, you know, and you took it and you went and buried it and hid it away because, you know, you didn't want to share it with other people, that would be selfishness, you know. And here we are, we have this great treasure beyond measure, you know. We can't keep it to ourselves. So we come to share it with you in order that you might come to know Jesus, in order that you might believe on Him, and that you might find forgiveness, that you might find eternal life, that you might find joy, that you might find the truth, my friends, that will make you free. And so we offer to you the Word of God. We bring the Word of God to you and ask you that you would hear, listen, take heed to what we say, to the message, to God's Word, not to me, but to God's Word, and take it in, receive it, receive the engrafted Word, says the Bible, that's able, has the ability that nothing else does, and that is to save your precious soul. So listen up to God's Word, if you will. Romans chapter 1 and verse 19. because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified them not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Thus far we read in the Word of God, how doth it appear that there is a God? Well, by the light of nature, it's known to every man, woman and child born into this world that there is a God, my friend. An innate knowledge built into you, or you try to deny it, you reject it, you harden yourself against God and against the knowledge of God, but you can't escape it. Nobody can, because we all of us have stamped on our innermost being the knowledge that there is a God, you know? An inbuilt and innate knowledge of the Most High God, the God who made you, the God who made everything. Everybody knows, men and women, they call themselves atheists. They call themselves by other religious names. But my friends, the true and living God is known to all men. There's not a man, woman, or child born into this world who does not know that God is. But of course, the problem is, what men do is they hold the truth down in unrighteousness, in wickedness, that is, in their unbelief. They don't want there to be a God, so what do? They suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in their unrighteousness, in their wickedness. You know, like daddy takes the children to the beach, you know, and out comes the beach ball. And daddy takes the ball into the water, and he sits on it, and he pushes it down in the water, and he cries out to the kids, "Where's the ball? Where's the ball? I can't see the ball." But of course, the kids know that daddy is playing the fool. He knows where the ball is. He's sitting on it, pushing it down, hiding it. And just in the same fashion, my friends, you push down, hold down the knowledge of God in your wickedness, in your unbelief, and you cry out to all and sundry, "Where's God? Where's God?" But you know that God is. Everybody does. And God says that you are whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever you might call yourself. God says you are without excuse. You know that God is. And for that reason alone, you ought to seek after him, lest haply you should find him. Seek him with all your heart, all your soul, mind and body, everything. Seek him whilst he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, says the Lord. So my friends, the knowledge of God, the light of nature, that within you, oh, you know well and truth that there's a God. And then, of course, well, there's your moral consciousness. You have a consciousness of some morality, some measure of morality, at least majority of people do, at least anyway. God says that you have a conscience inside you. That's the way you are made. God made you that way. He made men that way. He didn't make dogs and cats that way. He didn't make animals that way. They can kill without conscience. They don't have a conscience, but man does. And that conscience within you when you do right, it approves. It pats you on the head. Well done. But when you do wrong, your conscience troubles you. Your conscience pierces you. Your conscience, if you do something seriously wrong, your conscience burns within you. Your conscience is God's agent, moral agent within you, testifying to the fact of God and testifying to the fact that you know that there is a God, and you know further that you're not right with Him. And that's another reason why men hold the truth and unrighteousness, because they know that they're not right with God. They know that He's angry with them because of their sin and their unbelief. But my friends, suppressing the truth is not the answer. Holding down the truth in wickedness is not the answer. The answer is to seek after God. The answer, my friends, is to seek to be right with God, to get right with God by His Son, Jesus Christ. But it's undeniable. You're without excuse, my friends. You know that God is. You have a conscience within you, a moral compass, my friends, that tells you when you do right and when you do wrong. And my friends, it's natural. I tell you, it's quite natural for men to believe that there is a God. Except that is for fools. Some men, they call themselves atheists, don't you know? You won't find that word in the Bible. You won't find that word in God's word anywhere. The word is not there in the Bible. But this word is fool. The fool says in his heart that there is no God. So my friends, do not go about God's world calling yourself an atheist, calling yourself something that you're not. Call yourself what God calls you, a fool. That is, if you reject the knowledge of God, if you reject the concept of God, if you reject the fact, the evident, the obvious fact that there is a God. But because there is a God, my friends, who made everything, who made you, and who has ownership of you, has a right to do with you as He pleases to do. My friends, for that reason, you ought to be seeking Him, and you ought to be seeking to get on the right side of Him. Because naturally speaking, you see, you're not on the right side of Him. Here's the problem. Adam, the first man, the head of the entire human race, sinned and brought sin and death into the world. And that sin has passed upon all men. All men. Yourself and myself included. So that God can say that we were all of us born in sin, conceived in sin, born in sin, come into the world, shapen in iniquity, living in sin and dying in sin, unless that is by the grace of God we are restored to God's favor. And so, my friends, here you are in God's world, living in denial of God, holding down the truth in unrighteousness. And my friends, denying the very fact that you have a moral compass and going against even your own conscience. I tell you, even your conscience testifies along with me today here in Walsall Town Centre that God is. That God is. That's how we know that there is a God. And my friends, you ought to be seeking to get right with God, and you won't do that by anything that you do yourself. By religiosity, respectability, good works, trying to reform yourself, trying to be good. Because the more you try to be good, well, I declare the worse it becomes. No, no, my friends, God's grace alone, the grace of God in Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel, that which I'm doing here today is the ordained means of God by which men and women come to a relationship with God, into a right standing with God, into a right standing with their Maker. The preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ, the Son of God who died for sinners, rose again from the dead in order to justify them. My friends, the preaching of the cross, God says, is foolishness. Foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power, almighty power of God unto salvation, to save them, to bring them into a right standing with God by the grace of God, that is. Only grace, my friends, the free gift of God, the free gift of God, a gift, my friends, simply and only to be taken. The wages of sin is death. But my friends, the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we declare to you today. So go if you will, but do not go saying and continuing to say that there is no God, for you know that God is. Everybody, every man, woman, and child born into this world knows that God is. But then there's the works of God, the realm of nature, my friends. Everything that God has made. Look at the galaxies, the stars, the planets. Look at the earth and all the creatures, great and small, down to the tiniest, minutest little insect, my friends. Everything. All of it made wonderfully well and made by God, the God who made you and gave you your being. In Him, in God, my friends, that you have life and being. My friends, you could not breathe were there no God. You could not have a meaningful thought if there were no God. No, my friends, all the works of God, everything that He has made, great and small, in all of it testifies to the being of God and all His works, my friends, throughout history, recorded for us here in the Bible, the mighty acts of God in creation and the mighty acts of judgment. Many, many times, nations and people, individuals brought to judgment by God for their sin and for their wickedness. But through that same history, God saving His people again and again, coming and rescuing them. And my friends, oh my friends, that history, the history of all of God's work, in all the realms of history, testify, my friends, to God's being. You know that He is, without excuse, my friends. The creation itself, the preservation of it. How do you think it is that the stars, the planets, the moon, the earth, all remain in their station? Evolution. The nonsense of evolution tells you everything is just an accident. Everything is just a happenstance. Well, if everything's just a happenstance, then tell me, why does it not happen that some of these planets shift, or the earth itself shifts from its axis? Who preserves it? Who keeps it all together? Who keeps it all on course as it is day by day by day. The God, my friends, who made it all wonderfully and preserves and keeps it and governs, controls everything by his providence. No, my friends, do not tell me that you're an atheist. Tell me perhaps that you're a fool, but don't tell me you're an atheist. You know that God is. We all do. But all of God's works and all of God's providential dealings with all of his creatures throughout the entirety of history till this time and right to the very end, my friend, they are the cause, or should be the cause, of you contemplating the invisible God to whom you are accountable. It would be a fine, maybe a good thing for you if I could say to you, well, God is, no matter to you, just walk away and forget about it. But my friends, that's not the end of the matter. For God is the judge of all the earth. We are his creatures, and because we are his creatures, moral creatures, we are accountable to him for all our deeds or thoughts or words or actions. We are accountable for our very natures that we begot from our parents, who begot them from their parents, who begot them from their parents, all the way back to Adam, all the way back to the first man who brought sin into the world. And so here you are with a vicious, anti-God nature that produces nothing but sin day after day after day against God, because it's against God only that you sin and do the evil in his sight. And so therefore, my friends, accountable to God. And he tells us that day is coming at the end of all things, at the end of this world as we know it now, when God brings down the curtain. Then comes the day of judgment, the day of accountability, when by Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, enthroned on high, the mighty Son of God shall return to judge in righteousness, and we shall all appear before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ. So, my friends, it ought to be a matter of great concern to you that you have lived all your days as a fool, denying God, denying, rejecting the notion, the concept of God, denying the existence of God, when all the time the evidence has been right before you. Again and again, men come to me asking me for proof. They say, prove to me that God is. No, my answer is no. My answer is no. You do not need proof. Help yourself, guys. No problem. All right. No worries. Friends, you don't need proof. It's not evidence that you need. You know that God is. What you need is a white flag raised in surrender.
I don't understand yet, since the start of God's world, but everything might come to our church, God's world.
You've got Alan in Lampen Reborn, yeah? Yeah. Some of them are closer to the earth than others. I said they looked
pretty great. No, because the gel is a fifth broken. You've got the first broken, it's the second third broken. The gel being the fifth broken. No, I was wondering not if you made it so bright, not from the other stars so dark.
Don't you, Andy? You've got a lot of knowledge.
Say again, sorry.
It's like I say, French, you know,
yeah.
All your days you lived, you know, with this rejection of God, denial of God, the being of God. And you're a creature, a moral agent, you know, soon to be judged. Soon this world that God has made is going to be in flame. You know, it's going to go up in fire. It's going to dissolve in fervent heat, the Bible says. But my friends, the one thing that will remain, the word of God shall abide forever. And that word, in that day, will judge you, my friends, and judge you in perfect righteousness. So how do we know that there is a God, the light of nature in you, the works of God? But to come to a knowledge of God in righteousness, to come to a right relationship with God, to know the favor of God, to know the grace of God, that takes something else. That takes the Word of God. That takes the Word of God, my friends, the Bible, which we offer to you week by week, the Word of God from which we preach to you, the Word of God that more fully and perfectly reveals to us the likeness of God and what it is that He requires of you. The Word of God, my friend, that has come to us and God has given to us, a most precious gift, I tell you. The Bible, my friend, written by holy men of old, carried along by God's Spirit to write the things that have been written in the Bible that God has commanded to be written, in order that we might come to a knowledge of God, in order that we might come to a right relationship with God, in order that we might come to know God's salvation, in order that we might be recipients of the Word of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. Born again of the Spirit of God, Jesus says, you must be born again. Till a man or a woman has been born again, they cannot see, they cannot perceive, they cannot understand the things of God, let alone receive them. The Word of God, the Bible, remains a sealed book to you without the working of God's Spirit in you, illuminating your mind, giving you light and understanding. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, understand the kingdom of God, perceive the kingdom of God. And so my friends, in the working of regeneration, putting new life, putting the life of God into the souls of men and women, and putting His love into their hearts so that they love Him. But until then, in your natural state and condition, hating God, denying God, rejecting the idea of God, and all the evidence that's before you, hating God and hating your neighbor, the very opposite to what God demands of you in His law. The sum and substance of God's law, Jesus tells us, is that you should love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But in a natural condition, as you're born into this world, you do the very opposite, contrary to God, hating God, hating your neighbor. Don't you see this in your society today? Don't you see it, my friend, in the murder of the unborn? Children ripped from their mother's wombs in the name of abortion. You don't love your neighbor, you kill your neighbor in this society of yours today. Drugs, alcohol, violence, hating your neighbor, hating God, and hating your neighbor. The very opposite to what God demands of you. But rest assured, God will bring us to judgment for all these things. And why, my friends, you ought to seek Him. Why you ought to seek His forgiveness. It is forgiveness with God that He may be feared, the psalmist tells us. Forgiveness, my friend, a way back to God from the dark path of sin. And the Bible, my friends, is God's manual of salvation to teach us everything that we need to know in order to be saved, to reveal to us everything that we need in order to glorify God in this our life. The Word of God, my friend, more fully and perfectly reveals God to us, but reveals ourselves as well. Knowledge of yourself, what you are truly like. Not the good person you claim to be, the very opposite. Conceived in sin, born in sin, and living in sin, but for the grace of God. But the Bible is a revelation, my friends, of the free grace of God. And how that God can favor, how that God can look and smile upon sinful men and women, wretched, vile, naked, devoid of any righteousness before God. How can God possibly receive? How can God possibly look upon vile sinners with pleasure? His grace, my friend, His grace, the grace of God in His Son Jesus Christ, sending His only begotten Son into the world. And that specifically, my friend, to die on a cross and to pay the price for sin. To pay the price, my friend, to pay the debt that you owe to God, to bear the wrath of God in upon Himself, in order that you might be relieved of it. But as long as you live in denial of God, as long as you live as a fool in God's world, seeing, thinking that there is no God, my friend, you lie under the wrath of God, the due penalty for your sin and for your unbelief. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness and wickedness. And why, my friend? I tell you with great urgency, you ought to seek Him. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Today He may be found. Today is a day of grace. Today, these are days in which God is imparting grace, imparting His favor, imparting His love, imparting His kindness to sinners. But those days will soon come to an end. The day will come when God will bring down the shutters on the day of grace. Seek Him while He may be found, while you yet have the breath of life in you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. He comes close to you, so very close to you, in the preaching of the gospel, in the heralding of the good news, the testimony of God and the testimony of His good news, in order that men and women might hear, in order that they might repent and believe the gospel. Seek ye the Lord with all your heart. He's to be found of you. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way of living, his way of thinking, the godlessness. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for He will show mercy, abundantly pardon. There's pardon for sinners. There's grace for the vilest. I tell you, the vilest offender who truly believes in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that moment from God, a pardon receives. God dons the judge's cap, and the gavel comes down, and He declares that sinner to be righteous, perfectly righteous in His sight. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But as long as you live without God in this world, as long as you continue in your sinful course, in your evil way, my friends, the wrath of God lies upon you and will fall upon you in that day of judgment. Unless the Son of God takes that wrath for you, unless He relieves you of it, He, my friends, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them, who went to that cross in love, He came from heaven in love, He came into this sin-cursed world in love, and in this world He loved sinners. And in this world He died for sinners. In this world He yielded Himself up to the death of the cross and to the wrath of God. In all its fullness and fierceness, He took it all. So that the sinner who truly believes in Him might never, never face the wrath of God again. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved sinners, sinners such as you and I, who loved them so much that He came all the way from heaven to bear that cross, to die and to rise again from the dead. But because He's alive, a risen Savior, not a dead prophet, a risen Savior, my friends, soon to return in judgment, in power and glory to judge the world, in righteousness to judge you personally in that day. My friends, a perfect righteous justice. Nothing escapes His gaze. Nothing, my friends, nothing will escape Him. Not like your human judges, not like the magistrates here in Walsall. Can't be bought off, can't be sidetracked. Excuses and false testimonies will not deceive Him. He will judge all men in perfect righteousness. And the only ones, my friends, the only ones who escape that judgment are those who have believed on His name, those who have trusted in Him for salvation, those who have looked to Him for forgiveness, those who have looked to Him for eternal life. My sheep, He calls them. In that day, He says, the goats go to the left and the sheep go to the right. the goats to the left to everlasting destruction. The sheep to the right to everlasting life. My sheep, he says, my sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. They hear my voice, not just the voice of a preacher. They hear my voice, says Jesus, in the preaching of the gospel. They hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Whosoever believeth on the Son of God shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But you do not believe. You do not believe. You remain in your unbelief. There's nothing left. Nothing left but the fearful looking for of judgment. The wrath of God remains upon you. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. My friend, denial of God, rejection of the being of God, call it what you will, foolishness, atheism, God calls it foolishness. Remain in your foolishness, and the wrath of God remains upon you, abides upon you, and will abide upon you for all eternity. Lest you believe, lest you repent and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish in your sins. God now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's the only way by which a man or woman can enter into God's kingdom. In that way, in that pathway, in that way of living day by day, repentance and faith towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Repent ye today. Repent and believe the gospel in order that you might be saved. Repent of your foolishness. Repent of the godlessness. Repent of the unrighteousness. Repent of the sin, my friend, that pervades your heart and life. Repent of the unbelief in the Son of God. Repent and believe the gospel. Let the wicked forsake his way of living, his pattern of living, his lifestyle. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man is what? Even the sinful, evil, wicked.
Come on, Dad.
Sinfulness, my friend, that keeps you under the wrath of God.
God bless you,
and
mate.
You, sir. And you, young man. And you. That keeps you, my friend, a prisoner to sin. Keeps you in bondage, my friend. Keeps you in the prison house of unbelief. The truth and the truth alone, says Jesus, will make you free. Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No one gets right with God apart from Jesus Christ. No one, my friend. No one gets access to God but by Jesus Christ. There is but one way, and one way only, my friend. One way back to God from sins, dark, dark path, and that's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the lover of sinners. Oh, I tell you, my friend, I tell you, there's somebody you might be saying today, there's nobody loves me. You might be saying today, you know, that you will go out of this world unloved. No, no, my friends. No, there's the friend of sinners. His name is Jesus. There's Jesus Christ who loved sinners of all stripes, I tell you. Whatever kind of sinner you be, atheist, a fool, religious, matters not the kind of sinner you are, a fornicator, an abortionist, an adulterer, a thief, a liar, all become in all shapes and sizes. But I tell you, Jesus is the friend of sinners. He came because he loved sinners and because he died for them. You might be rescued and you might come to know the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. That you might come to know, my friend, joy unspeakable and full of glory. That you might know peace in your heart, the peace of God that passes all understanding. That you might know hope, my friends, the hope of eternal life. Glory, glory, hallelujah, salvation, my friends, in Jesus. Salvation's to be found. Grace is yet being dispensed. Go to Jesus. He's your go-to man. Go to Jesus. He gives you life. He gives you life. Not a life sentence. He gives you life eternal. Life eternal. He sets you free from your prison. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. My friend. Go to Jesus, my friend. He's a dispenser. Madam, shut it. Shut it. You're just getting yourself in more trouble with God. You're gonna stand before him in judgment. He's gonna be judging you one day. And you, madam, your mouth will be shut in that day. It will be shut in that day.
I believe in God.
You know something? I don't believe you.
And you something I don't believe. Oh. I don't want none of this God, though.
You are punch her head in, mate.
I'll punch her fucking head in.
She believes, eh? She believes, eh? With language like that.
I believe in God, mate.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Listen. You're a liar.
Listen.
You're a liar. Go tell her she's a liar.
I'm coming there, Dad. And I'm asking you to shut the fuck up.
Go and wash your filthy mouth out, madam. With soap and water.
Nitric.
Go and wash your filthy mouth out.
Don't you think people are suffering enough without nailing you?
No, you're not suffering enough yet.
You're
not suffering enough yet. Go and wash your mouth out. Wash your mouth out. Soap and water, madam. And then go to Jesus and get your heart washed. Get your heart washed. Well, you can before he takes you out of this world and damns you. Because it is appointed unto man, all men, once to die. After that, the judgment. Then you stand before Judge Jesus. Condemned for your filthy speech. Condemned for your cursing of the gospel. Condemned, I tell you, for your atheism, your godlessness, your sinfulness, your unbelief. Cursed for all eternity. The curse lies upon you now. And the only one who can take it off you It's the one who bore the curse on his own body on the cross, so that you might know, that you might know God in grace and love, so that you might be washed and made clean, made holy, made fit for life, fit for purpose, made fit for heaven one day, instead of that hellish hovel that awaits you in your unbelief, in your godless ways and practice. So today, says God, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, but you raise the white flag and surrender. Get on your knees, on your face before your Maker. Cry out to him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, wicked, ruined, undone. Tell him, I've ruined myself. I'm damn worthy. Save me. Save me, Jesus, or I die. Because nobody else can save you. If Jesus won't, you're lost, and you're lost forever. But go to him. Plead his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Salvation in the name, the precious, lovely name of Jesus Christ. The Son of God, who loved sinners and gave himself for them. Go to Jesus. He bids you to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Come unto me, to Jesus that is, the life and salvation. Go to Jesus, and he will give you light, life, love, liberty, joy, hope, peace, in believing. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You'd like a copy of God's Word? Check these things out for yourself and see. Read for yourself, meditate upon God's Word. You'd like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask us for one. May God bless you, Walsall, and have mercy upon your precious, never dying soul.